7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Well, good morning. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the El Paso History Radio Show. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
Oh, you trying to be winter?
Oh, yeah, I tell you. It's like hot, cold.
Real winter's going to show up on Tuesday, they said on the TV. So, like, this is nothing yet.
Yeah, now I got to scramble and get my plants all set aside.
Well, whatever. You know, this is it's a Veterans Day weekend is what
it is. Yes,
it
is, and there's all kinds of things going on.
Tomorrow's a biggie. There's parades today all over the place.
Yes, there's going to be parades out at the Flags Across America. They're going to have a parade, yes.
Probably going on as we speak.
Yeah. Oh, yes, there's one downtown. They've got going on to start at 10:30, so if you can still get down there, but you have to take your smartphone and listen to us while the parade's going on.
Yeah, you have to hear the radio show. And then the Santa Lazario is as active as they all. They have a huge Veterans a presence in their museum down there.
And then at the flag site out in the Northeast, it'll be 11 a.m., I guess. 11 a.m., they'll have the parade out there.
Well, no, so the point is the 11th hour of the 11th day.
Good point.
And
forgot about
that. Would actually be tomorrow, but they're going to do it today.
It's the 100th anniversary of World War I.
Well, we're glad that happened 100 years ago.
Yes.
I guess. I don't know. Anyway, moving on to other things here. Texas History begins in El Paso, and we're on 690 a.m. and where else?
You can also find us on the Internet via
iHeartRadio.com. iHeartRadio.
I'm so cold, I don't know.
No, you're not.
Yes, iHeartRadio.com, or you can listen to us on KTSMRadio.com and take us with you anywhere you go. You'll never miss another show.
Yeah, well, just do that. Trivia today, we got trivia.
We got lots of trivia. It's for $20 in food coupons for Pepe's and Can You Tew, or a wonderful El Paso Gold DVD of which
I bought
we
a
have
few of them in here today.
We got some historic sites. Mount Cristo Rey, Tom Lee's, and the El Paso Gold DVDs for Ghost Stories 2, 3, and 4. And
it's still ghost season.
Legends of El Paso's Mountains.
It's still ghost season.
Yes, that's right.
Lunch at Pepe's for me today. I don't know who else is going to go.
I'm going to go take care of the sickie
at home. Can you guys go to Pepe's today? We got Pepe's available today if you want to. We got guests here in the studio who may or may not be hungry by the time they get out of here. But anyway, the history moment's about what?
Well, it's a special place in El Paso. It was built to honor those who died in World War I, speaking of it being a commemorative. And this place is going to have its 100th anniversary starting next year. And I'll bet you almost 99% of our listeners do not even know that this place is a memorial park for World War I.
Memorial Park?
Yes.
That must be the name of it.
I know.
Okay, that's what it
but
is.
But it's a memorial park, though.
Okay.
It does not necessarily have to be memorial park.
Okay, here's a
park.
Trivia question for you. What was it before it was a park?
Dirt.
Smelter.
It was dirt.
No, it was a smelter.
I know.
It actually was a smelter. It was the Federal Smelter, which is why the name Federal Street, Gold Street, Copper Street. Moving on to where we are. We're going to talk about history of a museum today.
That's right.
And not just any museum. This is a Turney Mansion. It was a Trost-built thing. And we're going to talk to some folks who know what this is all about.
It's the coolest museum.
Well, they sort of run the darn thing. We're talking, first of all, the lady that stirred me up on this whole subject, and I said, let's do it. Mary Jo Melby, good morning.
Good morning. Hey. Honored to be here.
Welcome
morning.
Here.
Thank you.
And the executive director, or just the director, you tell me, Mitzi Chiarty.
Executive director. Good morning.
Tell me your last name. Say it correctly.
Chiarty.
Chiarty. Oh, you truly
Chiarty.
Are. You trill the R, correct?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'll learn how to do that eventually. And we got a board member here named Bob. Bob Peterson, good morning.
Good morning.
And we trill his P.
And we need to get that microphone up on Bob over here, Sergio. I don't think we managed to get that up yet. So we'll talk as we need to. Bob will be able to
I'm happy to be here.
We'll share microphones. Try that one again. Hello.
Hello.
Okay, that one seems to be working.
There we go.
So it goes. Well, the International Museum of Art is an unusual place with unusual history. And I thought it'd be a good idea to explain to people, because y'all are pretty active these days, aren't you?
Right. Bob's president, I'm vice president, and, of course, Mitzi's a director. And it was the first museum in El Paso.
That's right.
And so we are the pioneers in the museum world.
And it was a grande dame on Montana Avenue.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Explain what that means to people.
Well, it was a beautiful building designed by Henry Trost and built by James Hewitt and my grandfather, H.T. Ponsford, the home. And it was a very different design for the Trost. The design that they were famous for was more of the pioneer, the prairie. They called it the prairie design.
This is a mansion.
Yes. But Senator Turney wanted to have antebellum, more neoclassic design. So Henry Troost designed it for him with the big two-story Corinthian columns in front, very much like you would see in the Old South.
But before it got modified, didn't you have carriage access on the sides?
There was
like the old days in colonial times?
There was a porte cochere, and there was another porch on the other side. And as a little girl, I remember this building very well. I knew that my grandfather had a hand in building it. And even as a child, I was very connected to this building. And when it was decided to bring the Crest Collection here, and part of that deal was adding a wing for the Crest Collection, I was very upset. I took it personally.
Oh, they're messing with the lawn and
So this beautiful piece of architecture was being changed. Luckily, somebody had the foresight to add a matching wing on the other side of the building.
Oh, so Crest really needed one wing.
Yes.
Oh, I thought they needed both of them.
No.
Oh,
They just won. But when they were when they were modifying the building for that, they built the matching wing on the other side, which, of course, is the changing gallery side.
Right.
And we have these two beautiful, large galleries that we have kept. And Missy has done a wonderful job in keeping these galleries changing every month or 6 weeks. And we're housing the Sun Bowl exhibit that opened this past week. And it's just a godsend that we have that other wing to work with.
Well, there's a lot of room there, and you also can fill it up with neat stuff. Bob, what's in there? I mean, you got the Sun Bowl. What's the Sun Bowl exhibit?
She mentioned Sun Bowl, and I'm just making a note.
Move the mic over there, Mitzi. I'm sorry. Sergio, figure out this mic business, would you?
Well, Mary Jo mentioned the Sun Bowl exhibit. We've been doing this for, I think, 51 years.
It goes back to 1960.
And so it's been a tremendous event for us. This year, we filled both galleries. In fact, we got questions Thursday evening at the opening reception for this because filled both galleries with Sun Bowl exhibit art.
You said there was a whole lot of people showed up.
Oh, bunches of people. Probably the biggest crowd we've seen there, at least since I've been going to this thing. We had nearly 120 works of art that were on display in this exhibit. And it'll be up through this month, incidentally. People really good.
Getting down there to Dave.
Yeah, because it's some fantastic art. And, you know, that takes us to the involvement of our art community here as well. We are so proud of the good fortune we have to be working with artists who are really committed to this place. It's more than a couple of galleries. You know, we hear this over and over. It's a museum. It's not just an art gallery. It's a museum, and it happens to be housed in a truly significant piece of architecture in what was the Turney Mansion.
It's historic, and I don't think it degraded much. Melissa, what do you think? It didn't come down in value when they put wings on it, did it? I don't think so. I mean, it's no longer a home to sell.
The only thing we had to be concerned about was that the we're talking about historic significance and landmarks and so on. We're working on that recognition now, and there was a period of time that had to go by after those wings were added so that you could truly, you know, reconstitute it as a historic building structure.
That's usually 50 years, I think, isn't it? Or maybe I don't know those rules well.
I don't think it's 50, but it's long enough. The time has gone by
so
now.
You've got
they're into that time frame, but it's how the building's held up and what's been involved and how much was changed really affects
whether it's
a national status and such.
The original design and all that.
And we probably couldn't have gotten the Crest Collection if we hadn't have built the wings that made it.
Well,
so
that was required in the grant of the gifting, wasn't it? You had to take care of these things. And I remember when that opened. I was a little kid, and I went down there and took art lessons and in the pottery room and figured out how you put these things in an oven. Really? Okay. And so that was what I was doing. That's how I learned what it was. Upstairs was the Crest Collection. Like, oh, yeah, a bunch of those Italian paintings. That's really cool. But now I appreciate them. There's an awful lot of. Tell us what you know about the Crest deal. I mean, here's what people should realize. That Crest Collection ended up now in the El Paso Museum of Art downtown.
Right. And when they moved down there in 1998, they moved to the
current location. Well, here's the point, though. That was all at that location. That was the El Paso Museum of Art.
Exactly. Yes, for many years.
So that's what changed. The name went downtown. The art went downtown. Mm-hmm. And y'all picked it up. and kept going. Who picked it up?
Well, it's interesting because in the very beginning, in 1939, 1940, the museum was called the International Museum. It was that was its very first name.
Oh, okay.
And so then when we did get the Kress Collection, it became the El Paso Museum of Art. And now, again, is called the International Museum of Art. So we're back to our home name.
But now you have different collections going on in there.
Yes.
And we need to hear some about some of that kind of stuff. I want to hear more about the Sun Bowl collection. Grab it. You've got that mic still. And the Sun Bowl collection that came in, you said it's mostly artwork. Are there artifacts? I mean, what else? Can you put footballs out there to look at?
No, this is two-dimensional art. It's pastels, okay. Oils, watercolor. You
of
know,
what?
Of all kinds of everything that you can imagine, from landscape to, I mean, the winner we had was did for the first year. This year we did the Boards Award, we called it. It's a juried art show. We had it's judged, and for example, the winner that we chose was of the Farmer's Market at Artovino's Desert Crossing.
So it's just scenes in El Paso. It's tremendous. Not necessarily UTEP.
No,
or Sun Bowl.
It's anywhere. It's not just.
And we have so much talent here.
Oh yeah,
it is such a wonderful place to show that talent. We feel like that is our main calling.
Well, Joe's kind of built the first floor as a gallery all by itself, and then the wings were added.
Yes,
because I mean you could display art just in the lobby of that place.
Yes,
and
I think it's important for people to know that the entire museum is filled with wonderful exhibits that represent our name, which is international. We have a African gallery. We have Bill Kolliker, who was born in Switzerland. His artwork is featured in one of the rooms. We are truly still an international museum.
Chinese carvings.
Chinese rubbing carvings.
And then there's we'll talk more in detail about some of the other things. You've got a Mexican Revolution collection down there.
Yeah.
So very interesting stuff.
A little something for everybody,
Mitzi,
down there.
Tell us how to find the place. We'll ask you again later in the broadcast, but I mean, it's where and how do you get a hold of you people?
Well, it's on 1211 Montana. And you can't miss it. It's the big mansion with the white columns.
Well, you almost can miss it because there's one next door, but it's not as big.
Right.
There's another mansion that's really cool, but didn't sit on the land. This is an entire city block.
An entire block.
Which I found fascinating.
Is still a big deal.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many houses fill one block and that's it? And it seemed to be a short block. It doesn't seem to be as big as some of the other blocks. I don't know how they did that. But however they did it, Trost found it. Turney found it. They put together. What was on there before? Anybody know?
I don't, but we also have a carriage house in back that's interesting to know because a lot of the homes along Montana did.
That's true. That's how they got around. They had carriages.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting stuff. We got to take a break here and do some trivia. You ready for that, Melissa?
Yes, I am.
We got this crowd in here talking about the International Museum of Art and also just maybe some general things about El Paso because that museum has been significant since it opened up. And,
yes.
And before it opened up as a museum, it had some interesting history we'll also hear about.
Oh, yeah. It really pretty much set the pace for that neighborhood, I think, too.
It's a fabulous place, being on the Grand Dames
yes.
of Montana.
All right. Yes.
Did we cover any of the
yes,
material?
Yes, we did. Oh, one we got covered really well.
What did we do?
Okay. Well, the first question, which is for $20 in gift certificates to Pepe's in Canutillo or at El Paso Gold DVD. The first question is, the Turney Mansion, now the home to the museum, was once home to what Texas state senator and his wife, Iva? We asked that. Well, we answered that one pretty much earlier. And what year did Iva Turney deed the Turney Mansion to the city of El Paso? So we've covered those two questions, and you can even find that on the website at the El Paso, the International Museum, El Paso, El International Museum. I always get it twisted around.
The International Museum of Art. In El Paso.
So, yeah, I always get that one twisted around. And if you have the answers, you can call us at 915-544-5876 or 544-5876. KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Ressler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
So what's on your Saturday to-do list?
Dave!
Hey, it's Luke Lowenfield, owner of the all-new Casa Kia on George Dieter. If you're at all like me and my wife, always something, right? And I bet somewhere on your to-dos is that oil change you've been meaning to get to. If I'm right, we'll know that we can do your full-service oil change today for just $29.95 for most cars. And it includes a full-service car wash and more. Our world-class service department can handle just about every one of your car to-do issues. State inspections, too.
Luke?
We're open now, or book your no-wait service appointment at CasaKia.com, and we'll see you here.
Luke, honey.
Maybe. So what's on your Saturday to-do list?
Dave.
Hey, it's Luke Lowenfield, owner of the all-new Casa Kia on George Dieter. If you're at all like me and my wife, always something, right? And I bet somewhere on your to-dos is that oil change you've been meaning to get to. If I'm right, we'll know that we can do your full-service oil change today for just $29.95 for most cars. And it includes a full-service car wash and more. Our world-class service department can handle just about every one of your car to-do issues. State inspections, too.
Luke?
We're open now, or book your no-wait service appointment at CasaKia.com, and we'll see you here.
Luke, honey.
Maybe.
Inside the train testing facility, our heating and cooling products go through endless torture tests. We drop them, slam them against a wall, shake them, and then expect them to run without an extra decibel in our anechoic sound chamber. We test so it runs.
Now through November 15th, upgrade to Unstoppable. Choose special financing for 48 months or discounts up to $1,000 on a qualifying new train system. Visit traininfo.com for complete program eligibility, dates, details, and restrictions. Subject to credit approval.
It's hard to stop a train.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
We're talking history here. We're talking the museum, the International Museum of Art. And we've got some trivia questions out there. One is, the Turney Mansion, now home to the museum, was once home to Texas State Senator and his wife, Iva. Who was it?
Who was it?
What's the name of the mansion, basically?
Mm-hmm.
There's question one. And what year did Iva deed the mansion to the city of El Paso?
Yes. And those are easily found, and we did talk about them.
544-5876, and you'll get the thing doing here. Oh, here's another number for you, 755-4332. What do you think that number is? It's the El Paso Museum of Archaeology out on Trans Mountain Road. Next Saturday, they're going to reopen the darn thing. It's been closed. Well, it's been closed.
Call for the trivia.
Well, I'll give it to them if they want to do that. But no, the Archaeology Museum reopens next weekend. It'd be a big deal. So they're going to have all kinds of things. What they did, apparently, we had Jeff Romney in here last week in explaining the whole thing. They didn't really change exhibits so much as they changed the structure of the ADA issues.
They brought it up to date.
They blew away the bathrooms and rebuilt them, and a lot of infrastructure stuff there. But the museum reopens with a pottery firing demonstration and a guy explaining polychrome pottery. Because polychrome pottery was a big deal around El Paso in its day. So there's your lecture series. It's the reverse engineering of Salado polychrome pottery with Andy Ward. Guess what he is? A potter. Hey, there you go.
That would help.
Anyway,
yes.
That's going on out there next week at 2 p.m. And the El Paso Museum of Archaeology is also having a Saturday event on November 24th. That's the weekend of Thanksgiving, 5 to 7 p.m. Native American Storytelling with Alex Mattis. And he's a good Native storyteller, dude. Around a campfire in the desert by the museum.
How cool.
If you want to get involved in that, Navajo, Pueblo, Apaches, hot chocolate. Did I mention hot chocolate?
Yes.
Well, there's hot chocolate.
More hot chocolate.
Anyway, that's the Museum of Archaeology. Give them up, 755-4332 on them.
Well, they've got a big Bosque bird bash, and they're not bashing birds, but they're just having a big party out at Big Bosque today.
Bashing birds.
That's going to go on till 2 o'clock today. And with the cooler temperatures and the arriving migratory birds and the first signs of fall color, it's making November a great time for a walk in the park. This free community event is sponsored by the Friends of Rio Bosque and the and support from the City of El Paso Parks and Recreation Department, and it takes place today until 2 p.m. The event headquarters will be the Parks Visitor Center, and parking will be in the nearby Bosque Trailhead, with additional parking available at the Wetland and Tornillo Trailheads. And it's a free event, and they got fun activities for the whole family. Learn about the River Valley environment through tour presentations, exhibits, and interactive fun for the kids. You don't want to miss it. So after the show's over, head on out there.
That'd be a good thing to do. A lot going on in El
Paso.
Down in
the Lower Valley. It's
even
really
though it's
nice.
Trying to be winter out there.
Well, it's a great day to
it's not gonna
kind
make
of bundle
it,
up.
And I told you, it's not going to make it till winter, till probably Tuesday. And then you'll realize, okay, last weekend was spring.
Yes.
Anyway, so I go. All right, talk more history about the International Museum of Art. Now you got me saying El Paso first. But it has had a name change, Mary Jo Melby, a time or two, as you say.
It has.
And we're now called the International El Paso International Museum. What is it?
Well, I call it the International Museum of Art. And
talking to this gizmo here.
I call it the International Museum of Art, and I think most people refer to it that way. And
we all get kind of tongue-tied because it once was the Museum of Art of El Paso, and then that moved out, and then now it's the International Museum of Art, and it's a bunch of volunteers, basically, with some paid staff, mm-hmm. putting together the programs that you're doing.
Absolutely. When the museum, the El Paso Museum of Art, moved out, there were the building was actually empty for a few years, and a group of interested El Pasoans who were very into the art world went to work and asked the city if we could use that building and rent it from the city.
They still owned it.
Yes, the city owns it. We rent it, but we have complete upkeep and salaries, and we have all of the financial responsibility of the museum. So if it wasn't for that wonderful group of dedicated people who brought our museum back and filled it bit by bit. They have filled it to where it is totally full now. And I think it's so important to know that this museum, our museum, is open to the public. It's free. Just about every event that we have is free.
Parking. You have parking.
We have parking.
Most
in
people
that.
Don't.
Yes. And you can park around the block.
Oh, sure.
If you find a place.
Yeah.
So we're lucky
and they
to have
did
that.
Thursday night. The crowd was tremendous.
Oh, I'm glad to hear
they
that.
Were lined up for blocks around
that is excellent.
Very handicap accessible, I will say, too.
Yes.
That's another question.
Yeah.
We are city code approved.
And one thing, I had a Facebook fan on our El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page, and they asked, are there any art classes offered? And it seems to me you always seem to have something like that going on down there also, right?
Yes, we do. We offer... periodically, groups come in and they hold workshops there, but we do have the classroom that's available. The Wounded Warrior program goes through there, and they have a large silkscreen program down in the classroom. We've had Junior League go through there, but there are some private groups that have art lessons and
give you a call. Give you a call or look at the website. Or?
Correct.
There you go.
What about the workshop this afternoon? Isn't there a workshop there?
But you know what there is this afternoon? You got movies.
Yes, we do. We have movies.
You got Jay doing stuff all the time down there. And
the Sunset Film Society offering
free movies
every Saturday.
We've got an announcement down in the stack here. You want to pull that out and get some details? They got a movie this afternoon. And at 2 o'clock, it'll make Jay's day if you walk in and buy some popcorn.
It's Cider House Rules
right.
today.
Yes, today's 17th. Yes, no, you're right. Today's the Cider House Rules, and that's at 2 p.m. Yes.
And Michael Caine got the Academy Award for that movie for Best Supporting Actor.
And you've got the lower door open out to, what is that, Brown Street out there on that side? Mm-hmm. So it's just like a movie theater. You can walk in that entrance if you want to.
Yeah. This theater we've had live performances because there's a stage. In addition to the theater. It seats 168 people. It's a great venue for those kinds of crowds that we get there.
Let me guess. You can book all of this and use it as an outside person, as a place like a wedding or something?
Yes, you can.
Oh, we do. We have quinceañeras and weddings, and EPISD has large events there, too, through the year with their exhibits. We're pretty flexible.
Oh, my gosh.
We can have...
for weddings, that staircase, when you walk into the section, the old part of the attorney house, and the, oh my gosh, the brides get on that staircase and they come down. It's like a, you know, Tara, you know, from the movie Gone with the Wind. With the Wind. She comes down those stairs. It's gorgeous.
And she comes down the stairs framed by that dramatic stained glass window behind her floor to ceiling.
Explain that thing to us with somebody who knows the history of that.
Well, it's done in the Tiffany style. It's not a Tiffany glass, we don't think, but it was a beautiful, large glass done in Chicago. And when it was brought to El Paso, Mr. Baker offered to install it.
Of Baker glass?
Of Baker
break
glass.
Break a glass, call.
And Baker, break a glass, call.
I remember
call
that
Baker
slogan.
Glass.
Sure, yeah.
They're still in business, but he wanted that to be his gift. He did not charge to install that magnificent window.
And that's worth a trip.
And I want to tell you that this is a personal personal thing. We left
Bob Peterson here.
We left the event the other night, and there were lights on in that museum, but it was dark. And that stained glass from the outside was just tremendous.
Oh,
what
okay.
a view.
Isn't
what
it pretty?
A picture of that.
And, you know, going back to the weddings, it's also historic because the attorneys did not have children of their own.
Oh.
There were five bedrooms upstairs, and they filled them with visiting guests. But they did not have children of their own, but they loved young people. And they had a lot of weddings there and parties and debutante balls. And they really had some of the very first Sun Carnival events,
That's
including
right.
The coronation was held in that home.
Well, we've got to take a break here. Let's come back and talk about some of the parades that house has seen come right by the front door there. It's a mess. I sat on front of it one year when I was a little kid and looked at parades.
It's
so fun. We need to take and the trivia is still outstanding. We'll leave it out here for a bit. What's the name of the
The Turney Mansion was now home to the museum. Was once the home to what Texas state senator and his wife, Iva? And the second one was, what year did Iva Turney deed the Turney Mansion to the city of El Paso? And
20 bucks of Pepe's is worth calling.
I mean, just go to the
website.
Okay,
we got one guy in here who wants to call. His name is Bob.
Put your hand down, Bob.
He's diving his cell under the table there. Shelly, he's a ringer. Don't do it. Anyway, call Shelly up.
That's
545 whatever.
544-KTSM.
Curious about investing in cannabis? Learn more about how to invest in the booming cannabis industry. Go watch the High Times Investor webinar at hightimesinvestor.com. That's hightimesinvestor.com.
High Times Holding Corp's offering will be made only by means of an offering circular, which has been filed with and qualified by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. These securities are highly speculative. Investing in shares of common stock of High Times Holding Corp involves significant risks. The investment is suitable only for persons who can afford to lose their entire investment. Furthermore, investors must understand that such investment could be illiquid for an indefinite period of time. No public market currently exists for the securities, and if a public market develops following the offering, it may not continue. To obtain a copy of the offering circular, which contains information about High Times Holding Corp, the offering, and other related topics, including the risks of the investment, please visit hightimesinvestor.com. That's hightimesinvestor.com. iHeartMedia and its affiliates are investors in High Times Holding Corp, but are not associated with this offering. iHeartMedia and its affiliates are not responsible for the information contained in this message, the information included at hightimesinvestor.com, or the information filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Message and data rates may apply. Please do not text and drive.
Ever wonder why Europeans speak so many languages? Maybe it's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons and award-winning technology can have you speaking Spanish, French, or German within weeks.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
You can try Babbel for free. Download the app or text STUDY to 484848. Text STUDY to 484848 to try Babbel for free.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution Sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
All right, we got Gloria on hold. We'll talk to Gloria in just a moment. We need to tell you a couple of things going on here. There have been thousands of people. I think it's probably about 4,127 people have seen the promo for today's radio show with the International Museum of Art. 4,127 on Facebook. I didn't put that up till Friday morning.
Yeah, and I put it on History Alliance yesterday. So
it's just now getting out there.
We're getting out 4,000
people.
The word.
And that's just Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the whole world. That's our world of Facebook. Anyway, telling you what's going on here at the Winterfest in Socorro, Texas, Friday, November the 30th. There's a parade at 6 p.m. from Escondrilla School. The festival is at 7 at the Rio Vista Community Center. Check that out because they're happy about that. Another biggie going on, Holiday Open House, December 1st. Noon to 5, and that's at the McGoffin Home and their Visitor Center right across the street, 1117, 1120 McGoffin. And they're going to have a holiday season going on. Bring your family, get cozy at the McGoffin Home. It comes alive with the sights and sounds of the season, music performers. Oh, now I'm getting interested. Cookies and hot cocoa.
Oh, there, more
hey,
cocoa.
Now
yes.
I'm interested. Free activities, 533-5147. Your turn.
Okay. Well, you've got coming up, you have Help Plan the Future of the Mission Trail. And this is going to be November 13th through the 16th. And it's to Help to Plan the Future of the Mission Trail. And it's going to be hosted by the El Paso County Heritage Tourism Coordinator, Valerie Venecia. And they're going to be doing some different things. It's going to be held at the Tigua Tribal Courthouse at 9241 Socorro Road. And they're going to discuss making the Mission Trail a World Heritage Site through UNESCO. And they've got different programs from a charrette kickoff, which will be a hands-on design session. They're going to have an open design studio, work in progress presentation, and location for all of, because all the location will be for, like I said, at the Isleta Courthouse. And it's going to be really interesting because
the Tigua Courthouse,
they got a lot of work that's going to be have to be done to present this. But I think it's great because it's a great way to introduce people to the program, giving the community and others an input on what's going to be happening on that.
3 days of this. You can go down and see what they're thinking, what you're thinking. The third one will be a conclusion. And it's, some of the planning I've seen in this city doesn't require personal input.
Yeah.
These people really want to know what you think.
So. And I think it's a great way to put your words out there for it, because I think there's a lot of to be heard on this.
Let's hear from Gloria. You ready for Gloria?
Gloria,
good morning. How are you? Surviving nicely. We got Melissa here with some questions. Are you ready for that?
Which question were you interested in answering, the first one or the second one? Which was the Turney Mansion, now home to the museum, was once the home to what Texas state senator and his wife, Iva?
Oh, no, he designed the building.
The Turney Mansion,
who
now
lived there?
Home to the museum, was once home to what Texas state senator and his wife, Iva?
We'll give you one more shot at this. Go ahead.
The Turney Mansion.
3, 2...
Yeah. There you go.
You know, we're having to pull this out of people. What was that?
Well, actually, yeah, we tripped on that one earlier. Yeah, it was Trost designed it, but it was Texas Senator William Ward Turney.
This is one of those obvious, you're going to get it either way questions.
So
if you think about
Turney.
But here's the thing, Gloria. You get yourself a choice of stuff.
We know you're awake now. So would you like the $20 in food at Pepe's, or would you like an El Paso Gold DVD? Well,
You want to try one? You like the ghost stuff is kind of unusual for people, but we don't try to scare you. We simply try to inform you.
Well, we have two, three, and four.
Take a look at two. Give her two. Two is, I think, is what you need, because two is at down in Santa Lazario. We decided, this is what happened. I said, you know, the Billy the Kid jail had a lot going on, but then they had a fire in the jail, and all the records were destroyed, so nobody really knows, except by hearsay, was Billy really there? Who was the guy that broke out? Yada, yada. So I took a psychic down there, and she went in the jail cell. She about freaked out. The sorrow that had happened in there, she came running out of there. And then later on in the video, we see all these orbs all over the place chasing her. And it's like really different. So, I mean, and she did tell us, Billy, which cell he was book a guy out of. So anyway, that's Ghost Stories of El Paso, Volume 2. And it is still ghost season. You know that. All right. Well, thanks for playing. Anything else on your mind, Gloria?
Well, thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening. Hold on. Shelley will come on the phone and tell you how to pick this up. All right? Thank you very much. And the other guy in the control room is Sergio, the 1, 2, 3.
Sergio Valenzuela.
It's like he scored a goal, you know.
Yes.
And that's him in there. Shelley Sutherland is on the phones in there. And appreciate you calling her at 544-5876. We've got another question out there. We'll just let it float.
Yes.
Just let that one float out there.
That was your, when did Iva Turney deed the Turney Mansion to the city of El Paso?
And you have an approximate date because you don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of a couple. It's out there. But it's on the website. So go look at the museum's website.
Oh,
you can find the answer
right
there.
And on the website for the International Museum of Art, you will find out how to book things and what's going on down there. They had a major opening last Thursday night of the Sun Bowl exhibit. Mary Jo, what was your impression of the Sun Bowl exhibit? Mary Jo Melvis.
Well, I'm always blown away. I am so impressed with the talent in El Paso and our region, and it's so varied and so amazingly professional. It really, we have some beautiful masterworks.
Well, do you host it every year?
Yes.
Well, then artists for next year should be keeping this in mind, too, that if they want to get a painting in there to talk to you about how to go about doing that.
Call Mitzi.
Call Mitzi.
And she's going to tell you how to pronounce her last name again?
Girarte.
Girarte. I have to work on that.
Working. The prospectus is up usually 2 months before.
There you go.
So you can find it on Facebook. And now we have a new website that will be launched hopefully this week, and which was created actually by Mason Sales.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Mason does a good job.
And Marcos Fernandez, right?
Mason knows what he's doing. He's got a lot of attitude, and he puts it into his web work.
Yes, he does.
And he's the guy behind the Trost Society website.
Does the artwork that is selected from this, the winners, does it stay at the museum, or does it go to different locations around town?
Well, the Sun Bowl?
They take it home, though.
The Sun Bowl exhibit is actually for sale. Every piece there has to be for sale. In order to enter.
But it doesn't stay there for a while to be exhibited?
Oh, it'll be there till January 4th.
Oh, okay. And then it goes home after
then
that.
Then every artist
Are there any football paintings in this thing? I mean, paintings of football?
Actually,
the carnival? Is there any Sun Parade stuff in there?
No, because it's not a themed program.
Okay, but it's the Sun Bowl.
It's called the Sun Bowl because it originated, I guess, with the Sun Carnival.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. In 1960, we started sponsoring that show. The museum.
Mary Jo Melby, were you ever actually in the parade going down Montana?
I was in the parade the year I was a Sun Princess.
What year was that?
And that was 1960.
I remember riding in the parade. My father was a big shot of some kind. I don't remember what it was, but I got to ride in the car. It was really cool, waving at the TV cameras. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, it's very addictive.
Oh, it is.
Once you start waving, you can't stop.
Well, one thing they used to run the parade from Five Points or so down into town, and then it turned around and came back. So I never understood what that was all about.
It was cold.
Oh, that's the other thing. It usually happened not in Thanksgiving. That was back when it was New Year's Day. Was cold.
The whole Sun Carnival took place in that week after Christmas, and it almost killed you.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
And the idea, I believe the fathers who founded the darn thing said, hey, we're going to try to get tourists to come here in January. Watch this. And a couple of them worked, a couple of them got snowed out. It's like,
and if you ever read the history of El Paso, it started, the Sun Bowl and the Sun Carnival started way back in 1901 with the Midwinter Carnival.
That's the one
that we were talking about, Melissa.
Yeah.
Because they started out that first year in January so proud that El Paso has such fabulous weather.
And it
was horrible weather.
It snowed.
It snowed. It blew dust. It did all those things. But they picked, as only El Paso can do, they picked the theme of Hawaii for that first mid-carnival in January.
And what year was that?
And so they wanted to have a volcano. So somebody actually went up on Mount Franklin with 25 tons of dynamite and blew a very significant hole in our mountain. And that was our first taste of Sun Carnival.
Do you remember where it was on the mountain? I'd be curious.
I don't know where it was on the mountain.
If anybody knows where they put the
but
volcano.
What year
was this?
That was 1901.
Oh, 1901, yeah.
That was way before Scenic Drive.
And that was a women's club that sponsored that, wasn't it? Yeah.
There were 3 years of the mid-winter carnival, and then it went right into the Sun Carnival. And some of the very first events took place at the Turney Mansion.
Of course. Well, now, back in that day, the El Pasoans were thinking very differently. Right in about the turn of the century, 1900, there was
They were busy.
Well, there was a crew there that created a group called the Pioneer Association of El Paso, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And guys like Zach White were the founding members. And you had to be, I think, in 1902 or whatever they started, they had to have been living in El Paso before 1890 to be a pioneer or some such thing. And so that whole
Couldn't be a newcomer.
No, that whole crowd had did a whole lot of things behind the scenes, and I'll bet you some of them were McGinty Band people, too.
And they were busy. I read about one fair in 1901. It wasn't the Midwinter Carnival. But, I mean, they had everything going. They showed everything you could show, from farm products to everything. And they had a dog show, and they had a horse show, and they had a baseball game and a football game. I mean, El Paso was cooking.
Where was the first Sun Bowl game?
El Paso High.
Exactly.
There you go.
And there, we're talking to a lady who this year became the outstanding ex of El Paso High School, Mary Jo Melby. There you are. I knew you would know that one.
Yes.
You had to know that one, otherwise you'd be fired. But the thing about the time of, we're talking about 118 years ago, back in that era when all this stuff was starting to cook, El Paso was really starting to get going. Mm-hmm. The Trost people showed up.
Mm-hmm.
They started looking around saying, oh, there's an empty lot. Let's put something there. And that kind of thing came in. But also, back in the day, trains were supreme in travel. You didn't have a lot of highways that worked very well.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, to get to El Paso, it was by train. So they would often have huge conventions in El Paso.
Oh, yes,
and they
huge.
Would call upon the women's club or whoever they could find. We need to put up 1,500 people. Where are we going to put them?
Yes,
and they would,
in the
they
early
would,
days.
They would put cots in the Civic Center, whatever they called it at the time.
And then in the City Hall.
So it was a different era in El Paso. And people were here trying to get people to come be tourists.
And they had special deals for people to come to El Paso on the train for the Midwinter Carnival and the Sun Carnivals.
Yeah, it was
after
like $15 round trip from anywhere in Texas.
It was a scream to come here. I mean, people were coming from Oklahoma and from Louisiana and other different places. It was, you know, California, Arizona, New Mexico. They just had these great deals for them to come in from all over.
So if you ever wondered what it was like to live in El Paso in 1900, we're sort of giving you a slight flavor.
Yeah.
And by then, I guess they were starting to think houses down Montana. How many houses were built down Montana? Because the Turney Mansion was much later, right? What year was the Turney Mansion? Because it was a Trost.
1910.
Was it
1910?
It was 1910, the very year that the Mexican Revolution started.
Yeah. They got here in 1892.
Well, they sort of dribbled in. The Trost just dribbled into. They don't all show up at once, apparently.
But the Turneys got here in 1892.
However,
so,
there will be a radio show in December on the Trost specifically by one of the Trost descendants, Margaret Smith.
That's right, Margaret Smith.
And also she's going to bring in Melissa Aras Grossman, the president or executive director of the Trost Society.
Right.
And they've changed it from Texas Trost to Trost because they figured out, well, the dude did Arizona, he did New Mexico.
Mexico.
Talk about this, Mexico.
Yeah.
So they're getting
bigger.
But
he had a home here at the corner of Yandell and Hawthorne. That was Mr. Trost's home that he built for himself. And it was very much in the prairie style that he was known for.
Did you know them or any of their family, their descendants? Because you wouldn't know him.
I did not.
But do any of his kids or anybody?
No.
Because the people who picked up that house were the McGregors.
Yes, yes.
And one of them still lives in it.
Yes, Malcolm's son.
And if you talk about McGregor Range out on that was their ranch. The history connects there is just amazing when you start
And when we were at El Paso High, the Trost House was the Grossbeck House. And there was parties after the football game there, and it was a very coveted invitation to go to the Trost House.
Sounds to me like you went a few times. Oh, look at you did. I can tell by the look on your face. All right, we take a break here. It's the El Paso History Radio Show with talking about, we started out talking about the International Museum of Art, but you get into something like that and you end up in topics all over El Paso.
Well, that's it. I mean, it was so active in everything that was happening in El Paso, just not only with the tourneys, but the museum itself, how it's gone on. It's still active in the community with so many different great things.
After the shoot 'em up time.
You got to talking to the gizmo.
You can't relax back here in your chair.
It was, you know, after the shoot 'em up time, you know, in the late 1800s, El Paso was one of four sin cities in America, and it was New York and New Orleans and the San Francisco area and El Paso. I mean, everybody was just trying to stay alive, and all of a sudden things began to, well, the population here just put their foot down and said, we're not going to stand for that anymore. And they began to clean up some of the things that needed to be cleaned up. And that's when all of this activity really got going.
Women's Club had a lot to do with that. Yes. Or the women who became the club.
Yes.
All right, interesting. All right, Bob, I got a chore for you. Pick a Pepe's, would you? Here it is. If you don't mind, grab that menu.
Pick a peck of
And what happens is, if you pick whatever you pick right here, becomes a special at Pepe's today. So whatever price it is, it becomes $6. So what would you think we should share to the world at Pepe's today?
My favorite, probably the red chili meat enchiladas.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Red chili, there you are. There's the Pepe special, red chili meat enchiladas today. Bob has picked it.
Perfect day for it, too, isn't it? That's
cold. The rest of us are going to take a break. Call us if you or look at Facebook.
Oh, you can look. I'm working up. I haven't got their picture up, but I'm working on Facebook answering some questions right now. So get out there to the El Paso History Radio Show Facebook page.
Back in a moment.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055. Text JOIN to 44055.
Looking to save on Medicare Part D? Switching to Walgreens may help you save on your Medicare Part D prescription. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Talk to the pharmacist to learn more.
Hi, we're the free iHeartRadio app. We'd like to reintroduce ourselves. You may already know iHeartRadio lets you listen to all your favorite radio stations. But did you know the same free iHeartRadio app has all your favorite podcasts? Over 20,000 podcasts. Find your favorite. Make iHeartRadio your podcast player. One app for everything you love. Download the app and try it now. iHeartRadio, your music, stations, and podcasts. Anytime, anywhere.
iHeartRadio.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com. For DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
I'm here, testing 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey,
is this thing testing? No, but the thing is about this history in El Paso, it's all interconnected. And the International Museum of Art has so many pieces of the puzzle. Bob, you were going to mention something specific about what?
Well, you want to talk about the membership in our association, where we promote membership, where you can actually come as a member, and you know, any time that we're open. We're open from Wednesday through Sunday. Wednesday, and correct me, the 10 to 5, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then 1 to 5 on Saturday.
But it's
and
free
Sunday.
Admission anyway.
It's free admission. But, you know, we encourage donations, obviously, or donation boxes there. And as Mary Jo has mentioned, we're responsible for all the financial goings on with the museum.
The city gave you the keys and said, fix it and keep it fixed.
We pay a token lease amount, but we have to take care of it.
So and you paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for an air conditioning system a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Yeah,
and that was personal money from somebody.
And we still need more.
It was our
so
whole foundation.
Was it?
Our foundation.
Oh, and that gets supported by whoever you can, right?
Something called the International Association for the Visual Arts of Texas.
That's what you're going to tell us about.
It's basically a foundation that was created to gather these funds so that the foundation then can make grants to do these improvements or to acquisitions for the museum and so on. So, anybody who's interested can obviously contact us to see how they might donate to that fund or to, contribute to
the. Throw the phone number out there.
543-6747 is the number for the museum.
543-6747. And ask for Mitzi. She can help you.
Absolutely.
Because you're normally there, I mean, give or take.
Or they can catch me on my cell phone,
too. Yeah. And so you're the one to talk to about that?
Absolutely. Right.
International Museum of Art on Montana, interesting place. Second hour, we're going to ask you guys to stick around and tell us more stuff because we haven't gone through what's in your exhibits, and we need to do that in somewhat detail. And also, just open it up to people calling, and if they have a question, we can certainly address that. And also, how is that museum connected to the city? We started getting into that a little bit. It's just connected all over the place, right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, the history, the people, the building, the styles of what went on there, and the fact that here comes the Sun Carnival Parade one more time.
Well, it's one of those things. It's one of those. We keep going back to this, the Trost legacy here.
Oh, yeah.
And, just this past week, a number of these buildings downtown, Trost buildings, were sold, the infamous auction and so on.
Ah, yes.
But if you look at, not a lot of people understand, given that the Turney Mansion is a Trost building.
Yeah.
And it's in a historic district.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a famous. Just for that, you should go see it.
Absolutely.
And what's in it is a bonus.
Yes, tremendous.
It's Bob Peterson we're talking to. Mitzi Curati. Is that close? Is here. Mary Jo Melby. And we're going to come back after the news and talk more about some of this stuff.
Yes, we
got more to say.
Lots of things to say.
I should be hearing the music right about now, Sergio, if you got that thing punched in correctly.
Maybe
3, 2, 1. We're almost
out. We can start singing.
There it is, out in the West Tech. That's enough singing. But after the news, we'll come back and talk more about this and about how it connects to El Paso.
That's right.
Because that's another huge piece of El Paso's history. See y'all after the news.
After the break.
And, it's so interesting to me that you've got Pancho Villa.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
Hi, I'm Susan Eisen. As a native El Pasoan, I started my jewelry business.